Hi, everybody. This is Steven.
And this is Lauren.
Welcome to the Ugly Betty, where we review and talk about Ugly Betty episodes. We are talking about season 3, episode 22, and the stars, a personal favorite to me and Lauren, if I can speak for you in this moment.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I love this episode. There's great cameos in it and great writing.
But before we begin, not to, I think we need to mention something that happened recently. I don't know. Was it
Yeah.
last?
Recently, what did something really big just happened recently. So I think some nominations for something.
Was it last week? I think it was
Something
last
called
week.
the Oscars?
Oh, the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
I think
First
I
of
would
all,
like.
huge congratulations to our girl, America Ferrera, Betty Suarez herself. She clutched that Best Supporting Actress nomination like I knew she would. She slays, and we love her over here at the Ugly Betties.
I had faith in her the entire season. I knew, like I knew she was gonna get it. Like,
Me too, me too. Always pulling for our girl.
yes. Yes,
The only
so
America we pledge our allegiance to here.
okay. Let's not get to okay. That's a very loaded statement.
It though? Is it though? We love her. We love her.
Yes, congratulations. So, shall we talk about this amazing episode that has an Oscar nominee in it?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, not just an Oscar nominee, but also Grammy Award winner Adele stars in this episode. And we've also got some great cameos from Broadway legend herself, Bernadette Peters, and Christine Baranski.
Emmy winner Christine Baranski.
Emmy winner Christine Baranski. That's right. I should put some respect on her name. So let's, oh, go ahead.
And Tony winner Judith Light.
Oh
And
yeah, that's true. And Judith Light and Vanessa. I mean, listen, the whole cast is stacked, but I'm talking about the cameos though. The cameos in this episode are great.
I would like to put out in universe future Tony nominee Michael Urie for
Oh yeah.
Spamalot.
Yeah,
He's
let's go. We're campaigning already.
yeah. I'm just putting that out there. He's been slaying in Spamalot. He's been doing a lot of off-Broadway stuff. He's in
Yay.
Once Upon a Mattress right now. I saw the clips. He's hilarious. So.
He is hilarious. He's killing it. Sidebar, our wonderful co-host, George Steves, he went to go and see Michael, and he actually got me a playbill. I haven't received it yet, but he got me a playbill signed by Michael. So, Michael, if you're listening, thank you so much. I'm so excited, and I wish I could fly up to New York to see you in one or both. George, you are so lucky, and thank you so much for the playbill.
And I'm looking at your playbill right now, and I have my copy. He signed me one as well. So thank you, Michael. And just to let you know, Michael is a very nice person. I have met him
We love
twice.
you here. We love you here at
Twice
the
now.
Everybody is Michael. We love Michael and America.
And the whole cast. But
The whole
speaking
cast,
of,
the whole cast.
so let's get into this amazing episode.
Yeah, let's get into it. So, this episode of Ugly Betty is all about big life changes. We find a lot of the characters contemplating and undergoing change this episode, particularly when it comes to things like career and marriage, things that are huge decisions. And at the start of the episode, we see that there's going to be a performance review at Mode, which can, most of the time lead to opportunities like promotions and raises. I feel like the answer to this is going to be yes, but have you ever undergone a performance review and like how did it go?
for me, I'm looking back at all the jobs I have had. Generally, I don't get performance reviews. Well, like, you know, sometimes my manager sent me down first when things happen. I'd rather not, you know, go into those details.
Sure, sure. But if you've never done a performance review, have you ever got, like, asked for a promotion or raise? I think that would also suffice.
Yes, I have asked for promotions. And you know what? Guess what? I got it.
Oh, slay. I have done both, actually. I've done a performance review and I've asked for, like, promotions or raises. The performance reviews I've gotten were, like, usually good. But, you know, I'm one of those people, I find it hard or intimidating to, like, ask for a promotion or raise. I've actually never gotten one. Like, ever.
when I say I got my promotion, I like at the job, one of the jobs I'm working at currently, I not only work as a host at the restaurant, I also work at the juice bar. So I could do two things at once. And they usually send me down when I'm hosting, when they need to cover someone, they ask for me to cover the shift because I'm the person who can do both, and they trust me because they know I'm good at my job and yeah. I'm worth, and I get paid, you know, very nice per hour when I get mm-hmm. scheduled. Lori, you know how much I make an hour. I don't want to, like, spread those details.
Right. We don't want to spread those details out into the universe, but I know how much you make an hour. It's pretty nice for California. I think that's pretty good.
Yes. And also, yeah, the thing that I will, if anyone's asking, needing advice, like, when you're,
yeah, like, can you give like someone like me some tips who's, like, intimidated about that kind of thing? Because I also just realized, one, I lied a little bit. I was promoted, but, like, I didn't get a raise with it, so it kind of sucked. But if you were going to give someone like me advice on how to ask for, like, a better promotion or a raise, what would you say?
All right, I'm going to be speaking to you and speaking I'm speaking to everyone else. Make yeah. sure everyone, they know that you're invaluable.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure, you know, I want people, make sure you're pleasant to be around. Like, for me, I know everybody who I work with likes me and respects me.
Yeah.
And slightly fears me, but, you know, loves me. And everyone knows that I am the best person at the job. When people call out sick, I am the first person that they call, even though, like, when I'm busy. So if they know that you're invaluable, and when you go up to them and say, hey, can we talk? Like, what can I do to, like, move up and do more and ask for that thing? They know you're a valuable person, and they want to keep you around, and they want to show your celebrate your worth, if that makes sense.
Period. I'm hearing a lot of know your worth, which is a great motto for anyone.
Yes.
Especially going into 2024, it's a new year. Know your worth.
Yes, because I've been in therapy since April of last year. And that's some of the things I have learned about myself to know my worth as a person. And I have grown a lot. You have seen, you know me. I have grown a lot since.
We both have, I think, like, we both got into therapy, and now we're both just, like, thriving. That's also, like, I think that's also a great piece of advice. Get into therapy, guys. Go to therapy. It will, like, change your life.
And there are low-cost options if you look. You have to look hard. Like, lucky for me, I have insurance that can cover my therapy.
Yeah.
So I don't have to go out of pocket for it. But there, and, you know, just make sure to, you know, love yourself and know your worth. And, you know, stand in your worth. And also, one thing I also want to mention that happened amazing at the top of the episode when I forget I forget that actor said when they were saying like, good times back on me, and then like, oh, people are finally eating at Mode, and Justin looked at Betty and said, yikes. He's like, what? I like donuts. I agree with that. I love donuts. Like, I have never met a donut that I have not liked. And right. With Lauren, when you come out here, I don't know if they have it here there in Houston, but LA, we have Voodoo Donuts. Have you ever heard
we
of Voodoo
Donuts? We do have Voodoo Donuts here in Houston. Shout out to okay. Voodoo Donuts. We do have them.
Oh, the Voodoo Donuts that's close to me is on City Walk at Universal. So when you come out, we'll go.
I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent, but I think the one I really want to try is like the Trejo Donuts. Like if I ever went out there to visit you, if I'm ever able to, because you know travel prices are insane right now. I would actually really want to try those, the Trejo Donuts.
Oh, I know. Me and Adolfo been there. Our other friend who has been on the podcast.
Yeah,
I know it's walking distance from one of my jobs, so.
This episode is not sponsored by Voodoo or Trejo Donuts, but if y'all would like to sponsor us, please reach out. But anyways, we're going into the performance review. Daniel tells Betty that she is all around excellent, while Wilhelmina praises Mark for being adequate. Typical white man. Which is a joke. That's a joke. Like I said, I've been very clear. I love Michael. And I even like Mark. He made me mad that one episode, which will not be named, but we love Mark here. But it is funny that that's the highest praise coming from Wilhelmina.
But you have to remember, this is Wilhelmina. She has high standards.
Yeah. It's like her standards are that high that when she calls you adequate, it's like a great thing. It's really mm-hmm. funny. Her reaction is also really good. I kind of want to steal it for like everyday use when she says, dial it back, sister. I love
that. I'll drop you back down to subpar.
That part is funny too, but it's the dial it back, sister, for me. Like that's usable. That's quotable. That's really funny. Meanwhile, Elena, Ignacio's girlfriend, it looks like, is also thinking about career moves. And while I do think it's messed up that Hilda went through her mail, like that's literally a crime, girlie, she does have a point. Communication is everything in a relationship, especially when it comes to big changes like moving or career, you know, etc., which I feel like we'll talk a lot about in this episode. But that's a big deal.
I love that actress who plays Elena. She was also in, I don't know if you ever watched Dexter.
Yeah, I love Dexter.
She's in Dexter. She's one of the main people in Dexter.
That's right. She's like the one that he reports to, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm not going to spoil anything, but I figured I knew who she was, and she... Yeah,
you know.
We know. If you've ever seen Dexter, you know.
It's like her character Dexter. I love her, but like, oh my gosh! Like in the seasons, like, oh my gosh, why are you so? Yeah.
When it gets to the end, you're like, But no spoilers. No spoilers for Dexter here. But we also love that show here at the Ugly Betties. Shout out to her. Other things being said at this episode, the bridal issue, Wilhelmina's pitch gets hijacked, and Molly mistakenly thinks Daniel is proposing, which is, let's be honest, it's Amanda's fault, but it's hilarious. So both of those things are also going to come into play later in the episode. And finally, the last piece of the setup, Bernadette Peters, icon, legend, and the moment. She's fucking hilarious as Jody in this scene. She pairs Betty, Mark, and Matt together for the Yeti final project, making this a dreaded group project. Again, I feel like I know the answer to this. How do we feel about group projects?
Okay. Can I talk to you about my trauma when it comes to group projects?
Yes. Let's get into it. Let's get into the trauma. Because I feel like, yeah, I figured we both fucking hate group projects.
when I was younger, high school, middle school, group projects, my creativity was always silenced and put down. But I think I love group projects when I'm the leader. And it took me a long time to realize that I am a leader. Capricorn energy. You know me.
You're a big Capricorn energy. Definitely.
So, like, I like group projects only when I'm the leader and I can control things, because you know me, I'm a control freak.
You are. I'm an Aquarius, so I hate being forced to work with other people. I would just prefer to do it on my own, because I know that I'm going to be the one picking up the slack anyways. So let me just do it by myself. I always hated it because I didn't want to be the leader per se, but I also just feel like I don't like being in groups. Because I don't want to be the leader, but sometimes I also don't want to go with what the group wants to do. So just let me be alone. Let me do it by myself.
And but you,
let's also talk about the fact of what they have to do with the group project. I would not know how to do that at all. The fact that they pulled music and physical sciences. And if I were in their shoes, I would have been like, what the fuck is this? But I feel like you wanted to talk about this, right?
Yeah. In going off what you said before I go into this, like, you know what the thing that I'm working on is basically a giant, expensive group project in the making.
Yes,
not divulging what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not going to spoil anything. No spoilers.
But this is like, I'm in the place where I can be alone, where I am thriving. Mm-hmm. And I know very soon, within the next month or so, it's time for me to start bringing people aboard. And like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be the leader of all these people. And I'm going to be so busy. I'm not going to even have a life. But I'm excited. But group projects are good. Okay, group projects are good. But I'm the leader.
I wanted to give you the space to talk about this, about like, because I was like, if I would have been in their position, I would have been so lost. But I feel like you wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, like if let's just say what the other one of the other groups that Mark mentioned, like fine dining and auto. Like, let's just say if I got that, I know the first thing I would do is go around, maybe first off, I would try to, since this is 2000, like trying to get an interview with Guy Fieri, who does Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
That is so funny. That literally just came into my mind too. As soon as you brought up the fact that it was dining and auto, I was like, oh my God, what if they literally just did like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives?
And do something like that, and like go and go around like the best, like, you know, mom and pop quick eateries around New York, and like, you know, feature those and talk about like automobiles that are like, you know, done in famous, you know, like the history of like travel and food.
Yeah,
in New York. That's what I would do.
I feel like it can be so intimidating though to like. Because, like, whenever they pulled the first one, it was like, oh, great, we know how to do this. But then they got that wild curveball of the physical sciences. And then it can just throw off everything. And I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of person, like, when I first get an idea, it's, like, basically first thought, best thought. And then as soon as something comes and, like, destroys that, it can really, like, throw me off center. Because I'm like, what am I supposed to do now? It's like a huge challenge for me. It's kind of a me because I like, once I think of it, then I'm set on it, and I like want to do everything in my power to like do that. So I feel like it really is a testament like to the creator's the character's resourcefulness in this episode of what they're able to come up with, because I don't think I could have done that, because that would have been such a huge curveball for me. What do you think, like, in your personal life? Because like I said, that's how I am. I know, like, me, I don't know if I'm always, I sometimes I can be resourceful, but it can be a huge challenge for me to be resourceful because I get set on ideas. What about you, though?
If I got this, like, if I got music and physical sciences, like, okay, music, that's a lot of genres, okay. All right, physical sciences, I would, like, you know, Google all the physical science, how I can relate it to music, figure something out. Like, if I went, since they said space is a physical science.
Yeah, so you would break things down. You will just, break it down into, like, smaller steps.
And then I'll break it down smaller steps and, like lay it out in front of me until, like, inspiration strikes. And, like, oh, my gosh, that's a great idea. And then we try to go this way. And then I'll do what Mark did, like, five gay separations to getting someone.
Five degrees of gay separation. I think that is so funny.
But I want to let you know that is very, very true, especially here in LA.
It's real.
Literally, I just need to text somebody to find out if I can get information.
You can get it done in 5 degrees of separation.
Yes.
That's so funny. That is so funny. Well, let's go on. So after the awkwardness of Daniel's not proposal, this episode, he decides it's time. He says he wants to fulfill Molly's dying wish, which is really heartbreaking. But I think it really shows Daniel's character and honestly, just how much Molly has changed him as a person. I know that, like I said, I feel like if you've been listening to the Ugly Bettys, everyone will know this. I am a Daniel and Betty shipper, and I always have been since the very first episode. But I will say, I think Molly was a good character, and I think that she was good for Daniel. Because I think she definitely helped change him for the better. But I mean, Betty also helped with that too.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, there's another proposal brewing on the horizon between Ignacio and Elena. Everyone seems to now kind of accept her, which is nice. Cause like, we kind of see that, we get to see Ignacio able to move on with approval and support from his family. But is it the right decision? I think we'll have to find out later in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
We then go on to see that the group project is, as we all inevitably know, having issues. It basically with Matt. Mark wants to kick him off of the team. Which I agree. But that leads Matt to having to admit to Betty that he's lost his passion for publishing. And he wants to change, like, career paths. Which is, again, a big decision. And this personally makes me upset. Because while Betty is, like, totally understanding and forgiving, he has completely slacked off and undermined the group project for her and Mark because of his own commitment issues. Which, for me, this is just another example of poor communication in Betty and Matt's relationship. And another reason why he sucks, in my opinion. But I know, Steven, you wanted to, like, kind of, like, use this to contrast with, like, between this and also, like, Ignacio's reasons for wanting to be with Elena. Talking about compromise in relationships.
Yes. As Lauren knows, and I have been in a very good, solid, almost two-year relationship.
Yeah.
And
let me, like, of you... all, let's everyone congratulate Steven. Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Still going strong.
And I have, if to give you, Lauren, and the listeners out there, I feel so safe. I feel like a Yoda, but you know. But yeah. A relationship that lasts any sort of length, wait, maybe like a year, 2 years, like 40, that doesn't go strong without compromise. And trust me, I have compromised a lot in my relationship. For good compromises, not bad compromises. Because, you know, that's something you have to learn. Like, you know.
Right. There's a difference. There's a difference between, like, what kinds of compromises you make.
Yeah. Like, for example, we... And I know this frivolous, but, like, me and my partner, that's a deep word. So it's a deep word. But we are going to Disney to celebrate our anniversary. So we're compromising on days, times, when we're going, how long we're going, and when I know that's frivolous,
I think that's an example of, like, good compromise, healthy compromise, you know, like the small things. But big things, though, let's get into it. Let's discuss. I kind of think maybe this is controversial, but some things I think you just can't compromise because then it leads to resentment. Like, Ignacio wants to get married to Elena because she's thinking of leaving and moving across the country for this job that she really wants. That, I think, is, like, it can put you in a position for resentment. And same thing with what Matt is doing to Betty. Changing career paths all the time and not being willing to settle on something, to finish something. That can also lead to resentment. So I think we might, you know... Well, I think we're definitely going to see that come into play later in the episode. And but I definitely agree with you, though. I think compromise can be healthy, but I'm kind of like, I think this episode highlights where compromise is not good, though, and, like, not healthy.
Yes, like, but in that point, I will also say that, you know, sometimes you have to stand your ground, like, hey, this is something I want, and I will not move from that.
Yeah.
Like when it comes to, like, you know, something in my career, my career related, that, like, I tell the person I'm dating, okay, this is, I know we have plans when it comes to career or my job.
100%.
Like, if I can pick up a shift, and they're like, I know we have plans, but my rent, my life comes first, because I was a me before we were a we.
I'm with you. I don't know about, like, daytime survival job, but it's in terms of, like, your future career, I think that's definitely, like, a deal breaker for me. Like, I will not compromise on that. And same thing with, like, marriage. I think career and marriage, like I said, they're huge life decisions, and you can't, I don't think you can compromise on them.
And we all know when I get married eventually to whoever I get married, and especially during that wedding planning. I hope
pressure if Izzy is listening to this. There's no pressure.
We'll talk about stuff like that later. when I get married, I know what I want for my wedding. So...
Oh, yeah. I know both of us. We've already got the Pinterest boards ready to go.
I hope... Just joking, but the prize is, like, marrying me, just, like, giving me what I want on that day. That's... just, like, you know, I'll help pay for it because I'm me. But just kidding. But, yeah, compromise is healthy, but, you know, also staying... making
sure compromise, yeah. Sometimes you got to stand your ground, stand on business, as the kids are saying these days. Well, let's go on. Let's go on. So after this, there's a moment where we get to see Wilhelmina and Claire kind of go at it with some great verbal sparring. I love them. Betty is actually able to secure the planetarium with the help of Matt's mom, a.k.a. Emmy winner Christine Baranski, icon, legend, and also the moment.
Yeah.
But only on the condition that Betty convinces Matt to rejoin Yeti and actually finish something for once in his life. which leads Betty and Mark to go like kind of back and forth on the pros and cons. And Betty kind of worries about using Matt just for the sake of the project. Now, I want to say, in my opinion, he was the one that was wrong for leaving them hanging like that. But I want to open this up for discussion as well. Like, is she wrong for kind of using him to get the project done, like for the sake of the project? Because I actually think that she had genuine points that she was making about your art class doesn't start for another week anyway. So you might as well just finish this and it could be good for you later on if you change your mind. Like, I think those were actually solid points. Did his mom have to like convince her to try to convince him? Yes. So in a way, I can see why he feels like manipulated. But I still think those were real and genuine points she was making, not just because his mom told her to say those things. Because she didn't. She just said convince him. And also, like I said, I think he's the one that's the jerk here. He's the one that left them high and dry and slacked off on the project, which is crucial for the both of them. And she said that multiple times. This is important to her. That's my take on it. But what do you think? Do you agree or like no?
I think even though the way that Betty did it was wrong, she has a point, like this is her career. And at the end of the day, like, you know, Matt very much ruined it for Mark. It's not just Betty, it's Mark as well.
I agree.
It's their careers, and they've been passionate about it since the beginning of the series.
And also, like, if he was going to drop out, he should have dropped out before the final project. Like, that's what, like, makes me angry about it. Because I was like, dude, the program is almost finished. You're at the final project. And now you're trying to drop out whenever it's your girlfriend and her friend / co-worker's final project.
Slash frenemy,
right. This is the end thing. And you pull out at the last second. That's such a dick move. Like, honestly, I know that, like I said, Betty was, like, so sweet and understanding, but I would have had to break up with him if he did that to me, if I was in her shoes. Because that's just so disrespectful.
Yes, very disrespectful.
Elena Ignacio do get engaged. He asks her to marry him. And then Betty decides to go through with trying to convince Matt to finish Yeti so that way they can get the planetarium. But of course, he finds out and the whole project blows up. And we also get to see a mysterious phone call that Ignacio receives on behalf of Elena. Molly calls off the wedding due to the fact more time is the one thing Daniel can't give her. That's what she says. And Claire bows out of working with Wilhelmina. So after what Betty perceives as the loss of her project, her and Daniel have this really sweet moment where she tells him, maybe perfect just looks a little different than you imagined. I just think that is so heartfelt and true and beautiful. Like, that's a beautiful line. So shout out to the writers. I know I frequently kind of get caught up in the idea of perfect and perfectionism, not just as a performer, but even as a person. I think we both can kind of relate to that a little bit. Because I know for me, especially when I try to do something for another person, I need it to go perfectly. And that is the one time I will be like a control freak is whenever I'm like trying to plan something for someone I care about. I'm like, no, it's got to be perfect. But I really actually appreciate this sentiment. Maybe perfect just looks a little different than you imagined. How did that line hit for you? I feel like it was probably the same thing for you, right?
Yes, as you well know, I am very much a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, knowing the thing that I'm working on that I don't want to publicly say more than I have to the people who know.
Right.
It's like, it's going to be like, you know, me struggling for perfectionism because in the beginning stages of what I'm doing right now, like, I feel like I don't want to officially start until what I have done is perfect for me to start it. Mm-hmm. And I have learned a lot of times in my life, not just in art, but as a human.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, sometimes you don't need to be perfect. Because, you know, because things will work out the way they're supposed to work out, right?
Right.
And I think that's a lesson that we should all learn. I mean, we need to learn. If you don't haven't learned that lesson or know that lesson,
you got to get learning it.
Learn it now, or you'll learn it the easy way, or you'll learn it the hard way. That's what one of my things my mom says. You're going to learn it the easy way or the hard way. And I have learned a lot of lessons the past few years the hard way. And you know some of them.
Yeah, I learned, like, I think that's like a really great bit of advice. Or that's just like a really good way to, like, to put it, as far as like when you give advice to people, you're either going to learn the easy way or you're going to learn the hard way. That's a solid line. That's a solid line from your mom. Kudos.
Yes. And something else I want to say that she always says is, like, when you come across something hard, and something is very difficult and angry, like, upsets you, like, breathe and just move on, because, like, you can't control the thing that got messed up. She's just like, just move on. It's not for you. Just move on. And that's something I keep on in my life. Now, like, the lessons that I'm learning from my mother and my father, I appreciate my parents more. Yeah. Because they instilled with me very good life lessons that I have learned the easy way and the hard way. Like, especially, like, what happened with me personally during the year of 2020, that wasn't the pandemic. The pandemic, that my personal thing issues.
Oh yeah, I got it. Yeah,
I learned that the hard way, and to allude to it, not to give out my life, but the people who really care about you will always care about you, and the people who will use you are not real. And And trust your instincts. That's something else I want to say. Trust your instincts, because that's a lesson that I'm telling to you, especially you, Lauren. Trust your instincts, because you will know.
Yeah, like, trust your intuition, for sure.
Because I knew it, but I didn't want to believe it.
Steven's giving out all the advice today. He's such an old man. He's so wise.
I'll take that as a compliment, because I been through a lot, so I can't give advice.
I mean, I've also definitely been through a lot, so I just like to, like, poke fun at you for being older.
Like,
although I guess now I can't joke about it too much now, because I just turned 30. 30, flirty, and thriving. Let's go.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, honey.
And I recently have turned 32.
I know. Crazy. But listen, I guess I can't mess with you anymore, because now I'm part of the club. So there you go.
Everyone, trust your intuitions, because your intuition about people, places, things, they're never wrong. That's like, not to go all Christian, but you know what? I'm going to go a little Christian. I might.
Okay, all right.
Your intuition is like the Holy Spirit nudging you to say, hey, you need to watch out for that, And that's what I would like to say about that. Always trust it, because that's something bigger than you telling you
something's
wrong or something's right.
I'll spin it from the spiritual perspective. I think you should always just trust your intuition, because like, whether or not you see it as like the Holy Spirit, or even if it's just like there's something in the universe, and it could be the Holy Spirit, but something in the universe, something deep inside of you is telling you the truth of the matter. So always, always listen to your intuition. So let's go forward, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
After Betty convinces Daniel to get married at the planetarium, what was that? We get some nice resolution of all the plot threads of the episode. Daniel and Molly have this really beautiful ceremony. Claire reveals to Wilhelmina that she was promoted to senior vice president of Mead, which means that their rivalry is only just beginning. But it's really interesting because the reason she cites is because Carl is his name.
Cal.
He says that it's because Claire puts like the job before her ego. Now the let's kind of get into that for a second. Yeah. She put that the magazine first. So let's kind of get into that, because I don't know. If it were me, I think I have a hard time putting my ego before, at least a daytime job. I have a hard time putting my ego, work before my ego. You know, we both work in like customer service. We both work in the service industry specifically. I have a really hard time tolerating disrespect from customers. And I really despise the idea of the customer is always right. I vehemently disagree with that. And I know you do too. So what do you think though? Because like for me, at least with my day job, I could never be like, for the sake of the job, I'm going to let you disrespect me. I have to stand on business and be like, you're not going to disrespect me like that.
May I tell you a few stories or a story or so?
One story. Let's try to make it short.
No. I might as well make advice. All right. In the food service industry where I am, sometimes a customer is right. I will never say, but you know, sometimes a customer is wrong. Like as a host, you've been a host before.
Yes.
We need to evenly seat people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes customers ask to be seated into a section that's not the server. And server section, and so like it just throws off the potential money that another server could be getting. Sure. And also when I say, hey, can I sit here, like, no, why? Because you can't. I think people, if you're going to a restaurant, or especially a nice restaurant,
yeah,
which I work at
specifically, yeah,
trust that the people who work there know more than you, because they actually work there and you're just a patron of the place.
Right. Oh my God. Can I tell
and
you?
Can I tell you really quick?
Hang on. The thing I hated the most was when we would have a night where we would have a ton of reservations. Say a day like Valentine's Day, which is coming up. We would be fucking packed for reservations. But people would think that if they just walked in right when we opened, they could have a table because, well, there's no one here. The whole restaurant is empty. So why can't I sit down? Because you don't have a reservation. These tables look empty right now. That's all fine and dandy. But it's because if I sit you down and this 5 o'clock, 5:30 reservation comes, like let's say they all came at once, you'd be in someone's table. And what? Are you just going to peacefully get up and go? No, you're not. You're going to sit there and give me shit about the fact that you don't want to leave. So no, I'm sorry, but this table isn't available. Oh my God, that used to be my biggest pet peeve, especially in fine dining, with people coming in and being like, well, it's empty, so what's the big deal? You don't have a reservation. That's what the big deal is. And I have 350 reservations on the books. I'm so sorry.
May I add to something to that? Also,
yeah,
I work in a place. Also, sometimes customers sit themselves.
Oh God!
Without being seated, but and you know how frustrating that is.
It's so disrespectful. It's so aggravating. I'm with you on that too. Yeah, that was a huge one.
Like, it's like, you know, this is it's just like, but especially, you know, I'm gonna be working Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
and God Valentine's Day is,
God bless you.
And as they know, I'm probably gonna be put on lead ho. So, and dang, day people know about me that I am not afraid to tell people no nicely and say why not, because unfortunately we can't, because I'm not intimidated by anybody.
Right, exactly. So yeah, it's, I just like, I hate the idea of like the job has to come first. I'm like, no, I actually think that my mental health comes first. The customer is not always right. I understand that the service industry is about customer service, but I just really despise this idea of the customer is always right. Like, no, they're not. They're quite frequently wrong. And I should not have to jeopardize my mental health because they want to be an asshole.
And that's one of the reasons why I went to therapy, because, like, you know, working in the service industry is very bad. Like, you know, if you don't have a thick skin or like are not emotionally strong, it's bad for your mental health. Especially me being a person who likes to give themselves a beat, likes to being of service.
Yeah,
like that's very draining for me. So that took me a 100%. Lot.
100%. And that's a whole other thing that we could talk about too. I was recently watching. Shout out to I watched recently Gordon Ramsay did an interview where he was like, he got to eat his last meal. It's part of Mythical Kitchen, I think, on YouTube. And he was talking about like how depression is such a prevalent problem in the service industry, and like mental health is in such a crisis for service workers and service industry people. And I think it's because the service industry as a whole, as like the service industry lacks integrity because of the fact of this stupid idea that the customer is always right. And I think having to deal with that lack of integrity, no matter what position you're in, it wears on your mental health. Constantly having people be like, well, you're wrong because the customer said so. That will wear on your mental health. Maybe the industry at large just needs to change because it sucks.
Can I add like one more thing before we move on?
Yeah, yeah.
And as a host, as you've been a host before, customers treat the hosts the worst. They treat them worse than servers.
Right.
And that's a lot of energy. And like, I think most servers know, but we as hosts, we see every single customer. You might see a little interact with some of them, but we interact with every single one. And we have to deal with all of those emotions. And
I think it depends. On the one hand, I so see where you're going with this, but also like the servers do have to deal with them for longer than we do.
But customers are nicer to the servers than they will be to the hosts, because because they are the barrier to get in. But I think I told you like a very very. And where the places I work, very, very, very well-known famous people have come in.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is some of those people who are, like, rude, they act like they're on that person's level when
they're not. Exactly. Just it's terrible. But anyways, so let's go on. So after that, we also see that Ignacio tells Elena to go for her dream job instead of getting married for selfish reasons, which I think ultimately is the best decision. Because like I said, we were talking about that. I think it could have led to some resentment.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Matt comes back and saves the day by convincing Adele to return and do the shoot as well, which subsequently leads to Mark, Betty, and Matt being the winners for the Yeti program and scoring those interviews, even though Matt slacked the entire project and almost ruined it. I can't stand him.
I would like to also shout out, I love that Adele song, Ride It's Rain. That's like one of my favorite songs on a very good album. That was on 19.
Yeah. I love that album. Love Adele. We love Adele here at the Ugly Betty's. We love so many people in this episode at the Ugly Betty's. So you would think that this would be a perfect happy ending for everyone to end the episode. But in a heartbreaking turn of events, we actually see that before Daniel and Molly can even go on their honeymoon, Molly does faint in the bathroom. She collapses and is unresponsive, which is like leads us to wonder about her fate. I remember when I first watched this, I found this like a truly shocking way to end the episode, considering how neatly everything was wrapped up and how like perfect of an ending everybody got. But in a way, like coming back to it, like now that I'm older, I also think it's a great twist. And it reminds us, as Bernadette Peters' character Jody says at the beginning of the episode, sometimes reality sucks. Sometimes it's like you can get the happy ending and then it can get taken away from you. But you know what doesn't suck? This episode. This is genuinely a great episode and one of my favorites. Not just for the cameos, like I said, but just it is. We're back to good writing. Especially as an adult who just turned 30, the theme of this episode with all this talk about like big, huge life changes. It's so poignant and relevant. It still is today. And you know, like some things about, like we've talked about this, some things about Ugly Betty are dated, but a lot of the writing on this show is kind of timeless because it's so relevant. Like the issues are relatable, the characters are relatable. So I think in that way, it'll always be a little bit timeless. I think that's why it shines, especially this episode.
And it lasted 4 seasons for a reason because it's great TV.
Great TV. It is genuinely great television. We saw like with the writer strike, it kind of impacted the writing, but the third season, it gets back to really great writing, and the last season too.
Yeah, like, you know, and we just went through another writer strike and an actor strike. And
I know the biggest one that we've had. That was one of the biggest we've had, right? Or it was the biggest strike that they've had in a long time.
Yeah, so one of the biggest strikes we had in a long time. And yeah, it's time for us. And I hope the industry knows how precious we as creatives are. And yeah, we won't settle for anything less than what we're worth.
Yeah, exactly. Know your worth in 2024. Know your worth. I think that's a kind of a great way to like sum up the episode as well. I think that's also a really great way to sum up the episode too. Know your worth.
Yes, very much. Know your worth. I know my worth. Lauren, do you know your worth?
You know what? We're working on it, bestie. Like I said, we're in therapy. We're doing the work.
Good.
You know what? Now that the writer's strike is over, let's hope we also get back to great writing here in 2024 too.
You know, Abbott Elementary is about to drop their third season, and we know that's great writing.
Yeah.
Shout out to another ABC show.
Another ABC show that's killing the game with comedy. We love it. We love to see it. What are your final thoughts, though, on the episode? I want to give you a chance to give some final thoughts too.
Like you said, this is also one of my favorite episodes, and this is an episode I like rewatching all the time. And season 3 had a lot of great episodes. When Betty met Yeti, that's always inspiring. Like, you know.
Yeah, that was one of the big ones where like we had a lot of big discussion points on that one too.
Tornado Girl was good. The first episode of the season.
Yeah.
This is a solid season of TV, and it just makes like coming as an actor from an actor and a writer's perspective, and a couple more titles will be added onto my thing in the future. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we're gonna add some titles to your moniker here soon.
Yeah, yes. Well, no, I could add producer now, but I might add like a couple more later.
A couple more. We'll see.
Yeah.
I agree. I think it's just a great episode. This season in particular is so good. But this is, I think, one of the best in the season for sure.
Yeah. Very solid season of television. And this was made at, like, you know, peak. I feel like peak TV when all the great television was being made. And, like, this was a very good era of television. And hopefully, I mean, we have great shows now. Like, we had a little less, but, like, we have great shows again. We have Secessions. We have The Last of Us. We have Abbott Elementary. We have The Bear. We have so much good television. Like, all the stuff that's nominated. Like, it's like with
Shout out to Ireland. For anyone who's chronically online who understands that reference.
Like, It's like the thing with the Oscars and the Emmys. There's so many great things to nominate. Sometimes they will be snubs, unfortunately. Like, there's movies that should be nominated for Best Picture and Best Comedy and Drama Series.
I don't know if we want to go down this rabbit hole because I don't want to get into that tangent.
On that note, I will love to end this episode. Thank you again, Lauren.
Yes, on that lovely note, let's go ahead and end the episode here. My name is Lauren.
My name is Steven. Bye.
And this has been the Ugly Betties. Goodbye.
Bye.